Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
All right. Well, since we're not in AI yet, and we're still at a point in our lives where we have interpersonal relationships, Lainey here wanted us to do a little background check on a guy that she recently hit off, that something wasn't just quite right. Hey, Lainey, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So tell us about this guy, how you met him, and what doesn't feel quite right about him.
Yeah. So we hit this guy, we hit it off right away, you know, like, his name's Jack, by the way. We met at a friend's birthday party, and he seemed perfect. I mean, he does. He's perfect. Like, never married. He's charming and really funny, and he's so just, like, smooth, you know, like, no, just, yeah, he's, like, really smooth, really nice. But it's, like, almost too perfect, you know? So I know I'm probably just getting in my head. But, you know, things like he always knows, like, the right thing to say. I've never seen anyone who seems so together, you know, just, like, neat and tidy and never rushed and never stressed out. He dresses really, really nicely. It's, like, immaculate.
All right, so Lainey, to interject here, this man has zero red flags. He has nothing but green flags. And the red flag for you is the fact that he has no red flags.
Right? Yes.
Okay. Maybe the red flag is coming within your own house.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe
you
you're the red flag.
You need to start looking at your own flagpole, Lainey.
All right. So, Lainey, what has happened in the past, quite honestly, to make you think this guy seems so great that it's too good to be true?
Well, it's okay. It's not so much that, I mean, obviously, you know, we've all been burned a lot. But there are a few things, little details that are going on with him that have kind of started creeping me out a little bit. Like he asks a lot of personal questions about my past. But he doesn't want to answer any about his, he always kind of diverts. And I mean, I'm not generally like a paranoid person, but it feels like he's trying to figure something out about me. And sometimes he'll say things like he already knows things that I don't remember telling him. You know, it just seems like he knows stuff about me maybe he's just a really good listener. Maybe he's just really attentive.
Or maybe he knows how to use the internet.
Maybe he's noticed that you're the red flag and he's doing a little intel.
That's what I'm thinking of.
But Bert and Mo, I mean, yes, we know, women Google the crap out of a guy 9 times out of 10 before they're on the LinkedIn, they're on any social media, they're trying to find mugshots, you know, things like that. So I'm wondering for you guys, do men do the same thing? Are they like...
The mugshot thing hits a little close to home for us in here, but that's... Another story for another time.
But do men do the same thing, or is that something you all don't do?
Typically for me, no, I didn't do it. I only did it if, like, something came up to where I felt like I had a reason to do it. But for the most part, no, I wouldn't do it.
I didn't either.
Okay.
Okay, so really what we're looking for here is you're looking for us to do a background check on a guy that seemingly seems fantastic, has done the homework on you to see if you're equally as fantastic, right?
Yeah, because I can't find anything on him. You know, I've looked. He's got almost zero social media presence. And, you know, when I ask him about his job, he says he's a consultant, but he changes the subject.
Okay.
I feel like every consultant does that. Like, what do they really do? They, you know, consultants have a very vague job, like engineers. What does an engineer do? Other than math?
I can pinpoint an engineer. I can't pinpoint some consultants.
Consultants are good.
This goes again with your grandmother's cliche.
If you go knocking on the devil's door, eventually he gonna answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I hope he answers and comes to my door because he sounds really great. He sounds really wonderful.
He does wear Prada.
All right, Lainey, give us a couple of minutes here. You asked us to do a background check. We turned it over to our show director, Tommy, who turned it over to his private investigator friend.
Yep, I have a PI friend who helps us out with these. And Lainey, I have one question for you.
Yeah.
Do you own a good pair of running shoes?
Yes.
Because you're going to need them.
Okay. But you can't run away from yourself.
You're going to need to run away from this dude.
Oh, really? Okay.
For background, good reason.
Background check next.
The Bert Show.
So, virtual listener Lainey has taken us up on our offer that if you need a background check on somebody, Tommy's got a guy who's got a guy who's got a girl. and they will do a background check for you. And she's been dating this guy, and it just feels like it's too good to be true. There's nothing she can put her finger on. They've got great chemistry. He's got a great job, right? He's a little bit on the reserve side as far as giving information out, which is making her feel like, what is he hiding? But he just might be reserved in that area. Hey, how long have you guys been seeing each other, Lainey?
It's been about 6 months.
About 6 months. And there's just this gut feeling she has, like maybe he's hiding a little bit too much. And he certainly seems like he's gone online and done the research on her. So they show up and he's asking all sorts of questions and he's getting answers that he already knows the answers to and stuff like that. So she's, something doesn't seem right.
And of course, Lainey has done her own digging, but she's coming up empty. She's not finding anything. And that's when you got to call in the professional background checkers.
Which is what we did. Okay, Lainey, are you ready to find out exactly what Tommy's PI friend found out about your new dude?
I guess, yeah. Let's go.
And our private investigator did her work on this one. So first off, she did confirm his name. Did she tell you guys his name is Jack?
No.
All right, yeah. So she did initially, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, his name is Jack, and that did check out. And Jack, we'll just say his last name starts with C. We won't say his full last name. He does exist, but that is not his real name. Our PI found out that his real name, his birth name is Jonathan, and he has a different last name that does start with C, but it's not the last name that I was given by Lainey.
Are you serious?
Yep. And it seems he has been using this alias for years, and he is listed as a corporate consultant, and it turns out that he has been associated with a few high-profile, somewhat shady investment firms that were under investigation for fraud a few years ago.
Okay.
Now, you told us, or you told me, that he's never been married. Our PI found out that he was indeed briefly married a few years ago to a woman who, we won't say her name, but you would describe her as one of those socialite types, known for her high society connections. But they split up shortly after the marriage, and it looks like the marriage was annulled. So they were not together very long.
So technically, he's not divorced.
So maybe that's why he said he get married, or that he's never been married. But
that's a lie.
He did get married.
Yeah, he's been married. It just, he didn't have to get a divorce because it was annulled. Which, if something like that happens so quick, Abby, being in the dating streets, you're dating a guy, which one's going to hit, like, which one's going to be more off? A guy was married, got it annulled. A guy was married, got a divorce.
To me, that doesn't matter. The fact that you haven't fessed up to me 6 months into the relationship, I feel like that's a little shady.
Yeah, I think when the question comes up, have you ever been married? Then the honest answer is, yes, I have, but we had it annulled. Then you get into a conversation about it. But to hide it entirely?
Yeah.
Shady.
Was it a Vegas thing? Like, did they get married in Vegas? And then they were like, oh, what do we do? Let's get this annulled.
Annulment's not that big of a deal. It all depends on how the other person looks. For instance, Janet Jackson got an annulment her first marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, Janet Jackson comes knocking and I'm single. Who cares?
It's all based on looks.
She can still be married.
Shadiness is all based on looks.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's all that matters.
But the weird name, alias, the fraud, and the been married, that's everything that our PI found about this guy. So that's why I said, you better start lazing up your running, Jude.
Yeah, so he's not being entirely truthful. Is this a reason to run very, very quickly?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even give his real name.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm not crazy.
Nah.
No, you're not.
Well, I mean, two things can be true. But in this case, absolutely not, okay?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But you got to get to the bottom of it, Lainey, because now we got to figure out why this dude's name is Jonathan, but he wants everybody to call him Jack.
Yeah, this is for us, not you anymore.
Just call him Jonathan the next time you see him. Watch his face.
I don't know. I'm going to be calling
him. Oh, that's
good. Right?
I'm going to be calling him my boyfriend pretty soon. So.
As long as he looks good, we're good to go.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
You got in a fight over a gift that she actually wanted?
So I didn't get into this fight. This is a couple that a friend of mine who I'm close to. They, as a couple, got into a huge fight over him purchasing her a gift for their anniversary that she actually loved. Which that was like very intriguing to me because how is that possible? And it made me feel like sometimes couples who have been together for a very long time will just argue over anything, just to argue. But I actually thought after I heard it, maybe some people will actually understand where she's coming from. So they had an anniversary. This couple that I know, they've been together for like 20 years. And it's odd because as long as I've known them, they seem to never spat about anything, right? But you never know what goes on in people's relationships. But it was interesting to me because I had never seen them be so on opposite sides of something. And when the topic came up, he was like, so are you going to tell them about how you are not speaking to me because I bought you a gift that you love? And she's like, okay, actually, yes, I am going to tell y'all about this. And she's like, and I bet you all of the women will agree with me. So he bought her a couple of gifts for their anniversary. One of the gifts that he purchased for her was a really nice perfume. I forget the name of it, but I know it was expensive. It was something that he, you know, he thought she would love. So she wore the perfume for a few weeks and loved it. It became like her favorite perfume. She started wearing it every day, even more than all of her other perfumes.
Her go-to scent.
Her go-to scent. There you go. And so I guess they go out as a family, and she ends up being around his mom, her mother-in-law. And the mother-in-law says, wow, what are you wearing? That smells really good. And so she tells her. And then the mother-in-law says, I knew it. I knew that smelled familiar because that's my favorite perfume as well.
No.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. So she's like, hmm.
He wanted her. He wanted his girlfriend to smell like his mama.
So I guess that's how she took it.
That's how I take it.
Freud is typing.
Freud would like to join the group chat.
Freud's like, Freud's on line 3.
Oh, no.
So it was interesting because the table was split. It was like all of us at the table having a good time. And it was so split because for
how
her.
How is it split, Mo? Well, how is it
so
split?
I mean, I wouldn't have done it. I'm in the middle. I didn't understand it at first. I didn't. Until she kind of broke it down. And then I was like, okay, I kind of get it. Because at first, he was like, she said that. She said, yes, you wanted me to smell like your mom, and y'all don't see anything weird about this. And then he was like, it wasn't that for him. He's like, I wasn't thinking about that at all. I was literally just asking around, like he was asking all of the women in his life for a really good perfume mm-hmm. that she might like. And his mom suggested that one,
which I guess
he never. Yeah. Put two and two together, like, oh, that's what my mom wears, and if I get it for my girl, she's going to smell like my mom. I don't think he did that much.
I think that's a good loophole right there. No. I mean, if mom didn't say, well, I wear blank, then he's safe. She's just rattling off a whole, or he's safe. She's just rattling off the names of a whole bunch of perfumes without associating them with herself. I think he's all right.
I call BS. Listen, our senses are so powerful. Our sense of hearing when we hear something and what it evokes in the mind, especially our sense of smell. If I smell Boucheron, I immediately think of my mother and being trapped in the Astro van with her because she put too much on. Like, that's where my mind goes. I think of her. White Diamonds is the same thing. So if he's sitting there... That man knows when he's making love to his girlfriend.
Oh, stop. No, no, no.
Oh, don't you do that. You're next level right now.
He is smelling that perfume. And whether he wants to admit it or not, you smell something like that, it's going to trigger your brain and you're going to think about the person that wears it.
Oh, mommy.
I completely agree. So no I'm way. On the I'm yes. on the fence here because I have one foot in like the, that's a little creepy. It's a little Freudian. But then I have another foot in the fact that like, well, he didn't smell it on his mom and go, oh, right. that smells right. really good. Let me buy that. So here's what's going to be the deal breaker for me. Does he see his mom in person consistently on a normal basis? Like, do they live in the same city?
They don't.
Okay. So she lives somewhere else. Uh-huh. I feel like maybe I'm in Bert's camp now, because if you're not smelling it on someone, you don't really associate that scent with them.
It's just a bunch of names of perfumes.
Yeah.
According to him, that's what it was. Like, he asked his sister, he asked his mom, he asked his one of his best friends he just was literally trying to, and for whatever reason, he went with the one that his mom loved.
Hey, Angela, good morning. You're part of the Bert Show. Thank you for calling.
All right. Just to let you know, I'm normally not on the guy's side, but smell different on different people.
Yeah, mention that.
This is 100% true. Let me tell you how I got.
Doesn't smell the same.
I got mad last week at Cavante, our board op. He's the guy that runs all the buttons and stuff for the radio station. He's walking down the hall, right? And I'm like, damn, dude, you smell good. What is that? And he goes, Sauvage. And I'm like, I wear that almost every day. It doesn't smell that good on me.
See?
I'm mad at you.
The scents are different, yeah. Right? So it probably smells different on his mom than his woman.
So that's fine. Whatever. All right. Is it a deal breaker then? No. Am I ever wearing that perfume again? Hell
yeah. That's what she said. She's ready to throw it out.
Well, once you have the info, you can't go back. But,
and neither can he.
Yeah.
Now he knows that's his mother's perfume.
Yeah.
Neither one of them can go back. It's time to find the new set.
That is true, man. Okay.
It's time to switch to the baby love. Like we gotta move on.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Hey, Mo and I had a really touchy night last night, and I want to share it with you guys because I've always felt like when it comes to Bert's Big Adventure, this is the trip we take down to Disney World every year, as you know, with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. You guys are the shareholders in that, and I say shareholders because you guys are the ones that donate everything, man. Without you guys, there is no Bert's Big Adventure. So we get the benefit of being able to go and hang with the kids. So when we do that, I really feel a responsibility to tell you about it. And if you guys remember last year, we had a Bert's Big Adventure reveal. Tell them exactly what a reveal is. Not specifically this one, but what it is.
Yeah, so at our big send-off party, so this is the broadcast that we do the morning that we're about to hop on our private flight and head down to Disney. We do some special family reveals throughout the morning. And as we get to know these families, we find some needs, we find some wants. And just to make, you know, doing what Bert's Big Adventure does to make everything extra special, we surprise the families with some additional love and gifts and experiences.
Things they never see coming at all, right? They could probably never get themselves. Most people couldn't get something like this. So when Chance was with us on Bert's Big Adventure, he had told us, or his mom had told us, that his comfort food has always been steak.
No matter what treatment he was going through, steak always tasted good.
This kid loves steak. Well, Kevin Gillespie, who has got a bunch of great restaurants all around town.
Chef Kevin Gillespie,
amazing restaurants around, really high-end restaurants around town, said, hey, I heard about Chance, and if Chance wants to come on down to Nadir, which is one of his restaurants, and he wants to prepare a steak with me in my 5-star restaurant, I would be glad to do that with Chance. Mm-hmm. So that has been on the books, and Chance and his family got to come into Atlanta last night. They live outside of Noonan, so you can imagine the traffic that they encountered coming up here, man.
And it was bad.
It was bad.
Yesterday, really bad.
Why? You know, I wonder why.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Because it's Atlanta.
Yep. There it is.
So nailed it.
They get to the restaurant, and I got to tell you guys, there are some times when you see celebrities, and he is a celebrity chef.
Yeah, because I'm a huge fan of the show Top Chef on Bravo, and if you are, then you obviously know the name Kevin Gillespie. He was a fan favorite. He's been on multiple Top Chef seasons.
So I think because of Kevin, and he's told us this publicly also, his history with cancer touched him so much that having Chance, who suffered from cancer also and is still going through treatments, Kevin is just a really great-hearted guy anyway, but the way he embraced the experience last night, you just never quite know what you're going to get with celebrities, right? Am I doing this out of obligation or not? Chance goes back there, and Mo and I followed into the kitchen, and Kevin was so incredibly informative and really embraced everything. He let Chance turn the steaks. He was explaining everything, let him put spices on the food. Then he would take him down the rack and he would educate him on exactly what this part of the kitchen does, that part of the kitchen. Then he takes him into another room and Mo and I are like, we're not going in there. It was completely exclusive for him and held him by the hand and really gave him a full-on 5-star experience to make this steak. And then we all sat down and we ate a 6-course meal there.
Meal. They even had extra courses they brought out that weren't even on the menu to surprise us with.
So the steak that Chance got to help cook, you guys got to eat last night.
There was a really funny moment because, like Bert said, I mean, Kevin was incredible. He genuinely seemed to be enjoying it just as much as Chance, just showing him all of the ropes. And it was really cool to be behind the scenes and in the kitchen, especially if you watch The Bear. Like, it was like, wow, this is where it all goes down.
Wanted to see a fight break out.
Right.
That's what I've seen on The Bear.
Right. And one of the other chefs was like, oh, it'll happen later, because it was like really calm. But my favorite moment was when Kevin was back there giving Chance an opportunity to flip the steak. And you know, it's so much fire and it's heat, and Chance was a little afraid, but he did it. And then Kevin goes, so how do you like your steak prepared? And Chance said, well done. And you can just see Kevin go, yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah.
He literally said, not tonight.
Yeah, not tonight you don't.
Because when you go to a fancy restaurant like that, you want to taste the steak so you don't get it well done. But that's all Chance knows. So.
Yeah, he's like, I can see Kevin being like, buddy, you're getting a medium rare.
Yes, you are.
Whether right? you like it or not.
So it was a beautiful night, and his entire staff bent over backwards to make it great for their entire family. But while we were hanging with the family and we were talking a lot, I want to share a couple of things that were brought up during the dinner. First of all, you need to know what kind of kid Chance is. What Chance wanted to do this year was make sure that every kid on, I think it was one floor, maybe, mm-hmm. of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta had some kind of small gift for Christmas. Oh. So he brought up over 200 gifts. He got them himself.
Collected?
He collected yep, them all himself and brought them up to the hospital himself for everybody on the floor.
And handed them out to all the patients.
Handed them out to everybody.
His mom has always said in every situation, he is always more concerned about all the other kids than himself. Aww. Like, he always wants to make sure that everybody gets something. Like, that's just who he is.
So that's the kind of kid that Chance is.
Precious.
And the other thing I wanted to relay also is, I don't know how the awards for the National Football League are handed out when it comes to athletes that give back to the community, but Grady Jarrett and his mom should win it each and every year. Mm-hmm. Every year. He plays for the Atlanta Falcons, and this guy, I don't know that he's ever said no to anybody, but Chance's mom was relaying a story to us last night about Chance being in the hospital, and Grady happened to be there visiting with kids on the floor. Now, these visits are a little bit more organized than in other areas because you've got some kids that are very, very sick. You've got some kids that can go ahead and shake hands with whoever they want. So it's very organized. And when Grady and his mom walks in, there's a list of kids that Children's Healthcare of Atlanta provides for him to go to room, right? Well, Chance wasn't on that list, didn't even know that Grady Jarrett was in the building, right? But he happened to be in the hospital at the very same time. So as Chance wants to play football really badly, but his doctors are, he can't do it just yet. But he's a big old football fan. So word got to Grady that Chance wanted to meet him, even though he wasn't on the list. And Grady said, I will not leave this hospital until I get a chance to meet Chance, aww, who wasn't even on the list. And they said to him, look, you can't even shake hands with the kid. He's in a room and he's kind of in isolated, right? So you can't shake hands. So you'll actually have to do it through a glass door. And he said, I don't care how it's going to be done. I'm not leaving this building until I get to meet Chance. So he meets Chance, and I guess they're talking through the glass and then through some other details that I can't even get into. Grady ends up bringing Chance down onto the field before a Falcons game, hanging with him before the game also.
Of course.
And had a signed jersey ready for Chance before the game also.
How cool is that?
So that's just the goodness of people, man. Mm-hmm. And that's just one that we should be really, really proud of here in Atlanta. So thank you to Kevin Gillespie for making that experience more than what we had even bargained for, man. It was amazing.
Truly awesome. It really was.
So I saw some of Mo's Insta story, which you need to check out. I'm just impressed. Kevin's back there working that fire pit in a kilt.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yes,
I'm protecting all my parts around.
You better believe it.
It's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story.
If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help.
It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Hi, comedian Andrew Stanley in studio with us this morning. That name is going to ring a bell to you guys. Hey, Andrew.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Good, man. Thanks for coming in. If you grew up in Atlanta or you're around Atlanta, you know the name Andy Stanley. And I have always been really curious about the sons and daughters that end up in the same industry as sort of their Hall of Fame fathers or mothers. It almost seems like a losing proposition because Andy Stanley is like a Hall of Famer here and in the country.
Yeah, I think it's hard to do what your dad does if your dad's like the best at it.
Yeah. So, it really is.
That's not a great situation. I think if he were a comedian, I'd probably be a preacher. Kind of like, whatever the inverse of it is. But it's so similar, too. Like, it's really just like a more fun version of preaching to me. It's like.
And are you even sick of those connections yet?
Yeah, I'm working on my SEO presence online. if people try to Google me, I think he still comes up. Stand up. No one's laughing because of who your dad is. Once I'm on stage, if I'm making them laugh, that's because of what we're doing in this room.
For those that don't know, Andy Stanley is a pastor at North Point Ministries. He is the senior pastor and one of the greatest communicators I have ever seen. So I'm wondering, was that going to be part of your path? Because his dad was a pastor also. Was that your path?
My whole life, people ask me, are you going to follow in the family business? I always say the pressure was never coming from inside the house. Got a finance degree. My dad was helping me get finance internships and stuff. And he's, whatever you guys want to do, we'll help you. And he goes, this isn't for everybody. Part of it is I just never liked public speaking at all.
Really?
It was never on the radar at all. I was never even like thinking I could be on stage. And then the stand-up thing kind of happened after I'd been in finance for a few years.
How does one go from finance to comedy?
I would do my day job in the cubicle all day and then go to the open mics at night. That was kind of my rhythm for a long time.
Did you know like, oh, this is my home? Or were you terrified? Did you tank?
Terrified. Open mic at Laughing Skull Lounge, which is now like my home away from home, but at the time was like...
That's the one in the Vortex, right?
But yeah, you pass a big penis statue to walk in there.
You go through a giant skull mouth.
Yeah,
you
do. Oh yeah, it's like, it was not my vibe.
You're like, God, please forgive me for walking through these doors.
They sat me right next to that thing the first time I ate it. Exactly. It gotta be another seat in there, bro. Yeah.
Penis statue. Like,
So you get up there, or as you're walking on stage, are you like ready to puke? What is that like?
I don't even really remember it. I didn't black out, but it almost was like my brain blacked out. Afterwards, I remember feeling like, okay, that didn't go horrible, but I need to do it again because I got some stuff mixed up.
I feel like for most comedians, that's always like a thing. Like that first show, you get it out the way, and then at that point, you kind of know, like, this is what I was meant to do, or you never want to do it again. Did you have that pivot moment?
Nothing in me was like, I'm doing this so I can become a stand-up comedian. It was like, I'm doing this because I think it'll be good for me and I kind of want to be a writer and this will help me kind of get those juices flown. I did it and I remember I was like, oh, I could have done better than that. Like, my jokes are better than the way I told them. So I want to do it again and at least have done it once the way that like I meant to do it. And then you start meeting comedians and you learn, oh, there's shows all over town and it kind of becomes your community. And all of a sudden you're doing it every night and you're like, I think this is actually what I want to do. But that first time you do really well, I can remember the feeling after that and being like, I didn't say, oh, this is going to be my job. But I did say, I'll do this forever. Even if I have to have another job, I think that this will be a part of what I look forward to for the rest of my life.
You do it for free.
Yeah, of course. When you have to. Yeah. I mean, most people do it for free the first 5 years.
For sure.
They're doing it.
But you've come a long way from that to selling out shows now, opening for Nate Bargatze also. Don't you have like a tie-in with him?
Yeah, I've gotten to work with Nate on some stuff, which is really cool. And the cool thing about stand-up, and Mo, you know this, like it's a pretty small community relatively. And it's cool because even when you're new, you kind of get the chance to meet people at the top faster,
pretty quickly.
Because they all need openers, and especially if you're clean. I've learned that even dirty comedians want clean openers.
Yeah.
I've got some cool opportunities. Like, I got to open for David Spade because he wanted a clean opener, and Mark Maron, and it's really, really fun.
I guess it's easier now because we're always asking Mo, like, we're living in this politically correct world now. Is it difficult to constantly cultivate clean material that gets laughed?
I always say it's kind of like you just got to be authentic, and if you're authentically not clean, like if you want to write about other stuff, write about other stuff. But I'm kind of wired to be a little cleaner, so it comes a little more naturally to me, and I kind of automatically filter some stuff out. I've certainly written jokes where I'm just like, where did that come from? I can't tell that.
How much of your personal life is on stage?
Pretty much all personal life.
Yeah.
It's
so you
not
talk about that lovely wife of yours?
Lots of marriage stuff. Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I did that. I got married for the material. And then
it gives you good material,
when
man.
When we start having kids, you'll know that I ran out of marriage material.
Got it.
But yeah, lots of stuff every day. I talk about growing up as a homeschooled preacher's kid, talk about being married, talk about just, you know, a lot of stories.
Homeschool preacher's kid. What was that house like?
Yeah, we didn't. It was a lot of books.
It sounds thrilling, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a. You know, I've gotten to perform at a bunch of homeschool conventions now.
Are you serious?
Because I'm known as like, oh, that's the comedian that was homeschooled. Let's get him in here. And I'm like, oh, these 5,000 homeschool moms might not love my stance on what they've chosen for their kids' education, but it's crazy. I would go do these conventions, and they have. It's thousands of homeschool moms, and then they have all these booths set up of, like, vendors trying to sell stuff to the homeschool moms. And now they have a virtual reality college. It looked like an SNL skit. I walked by this booth, and this big poster of this, like, homeschooled-looking kid.
Want to know what that looks like,
which I can say that. You guys can't say that. And he's got virtual reality goggles on, and he has, like, a piece of paper, and he's, like, writing on it. And I was just like, oh, this is perfect. We've completed the stay-at-home cycle. You can have a home birth.
Uh-huh.
And then you can be homeschooled, and then you can go to college from home.
Yeah.
And then you can get a job where you work remotely. Yeah. You never have to meet anybody your whole life.
Yeah.
Have Instacart, DoorDash, bring everything to your door.
You never have to leave.
Literally.
You don't ever have to step foot outside anymore.
You never have to be exposed to any of those nasty PG-13 things going on in the world.
Now, I'm curious. You talked about marriage, and you said, like, when you have kids, that's how we'll know you're out of marriage material. So... having experienced it, would you or would you not homeschool your own kids?
People ask me that a lot.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The truth is, my mom was great. I became a stand-up comedian, which you would think indicates a failure of a homeschool mom. But my sister and my brother are doing great. It depends on who's doing the teaching. It's just like a school. Like, it depends on, like, some schools are great, some schools are not. It depends on who the teachers are. And more people are homeschooling than ever. It's crazy. It's like, it's the biggest alumni network in the world. We just don't know how to meet each other.
Right. I feel like the bread and butter for most comedians is, like, your upbringing and your childhood. You speak about it a lot. Does it make it easier for you or harder for you, considering your family history?
I think especially starting out easier because I felt like I had this thing I could talk about that was unique to me.
It's a niche.
It is. And that's the hardest thing in stand-up at first, that is finding your voice and figuring, like, all right, what am I supposed to be talking about? Because everybody's talking about everything. What can I talk about that no one else can talk about, or at least less people are talking about? And for me, I mean, my first jokes I did on stage were about being homeschooled, and I still tell some versions of those. And it definitely gave me a direction early on, which was super helpful.
Some of the shows are sold out already, right?
We're doing my special taping at Buckhead Theater on February 1st and now January 31st. As soon as we announced that and we sold out the first two shows pretty fast, I went to just do like a local show, and my friend, comedian named Mandel in Atlanta, I walked up and he just looks at me and he goes, man, this is the first time I've ever seen a comedian's wife actually help their career. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I know you didn't decide to do the Buckhead Theater for your special taping. I was like, you're right. I was going to do it at probably some 100-seat room and be scared I couldn't sell tickets. And my wife was just like, no, you can do Buckhead Theater. People are going to come. So we sold out two shows. We added a third one now that's on sale for January 31st.
That's
so
fantastic, man. Congrats.
Thank you so much.
Where can people get tickets for this?
AndrewStanleyComedy.com. We got links to all that stuff. I've learned the hometown comes out to support, and I got to... My goal for the special is for it to come out to where I can start doing these type of shows in other cities, because I got a lot of support here and I've been traveling around doing a lot of private events in these other cities, but I'm ready to start touring and making it to where everybody can come see me all over.
Plus, you got Jesus on your side.
That's right.
Jesus, of course.
Don't want to hear him.
No. Good for sales.
All right. Thank you very much, Andrew Stanley, joining us at the Burt Show this morning.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Get it. The Burt Show.
I think it's obvious and probably a rhetorical question. Are the experiences on dating apps different for men than they are women?
Or does it just suck everywhere?
So I wondered that, and I thought about Abby when I saw this, because you're always speaking to how tough it is on the dating apps. And this woman, it was a repost from Internet HOF on X, and she was saying that she decided to spend some time in the shoes of a man on a dating app. And so she created a profile. It was a guy, and she was going about it as if it was her and actually talking to women. And she shared her experience of what that was like being a man on a dating app.
Some of my guy friends gave me permission to make a Hinge account for him because I was telling him how easy dating is with dating apps, and he was telling me that it's incredibly difficult. And I was like, Pete, you must be doing something wrong. And he gave me permission to create an account for him and just run the account. I've been a virtual boy for 3 days, and I've never felt this bad about myself. I feel like a freaking loser trying to get these girls to like me, and I'm starting to hate women because I'm like, when I say I mean Pete, because that's the account I'm using. Pete's about a 6. But I'm so desperate, I'm liking the 2s and the 3s, and even they won't like me back. So what level of delusion has entered women's heads? Like, what is going on? It is so difficult dating as a boy. I hate it. I'm on day 3 of being a boy, and I hate women, and I'm more depressed than ever.
Oh, I hate it when my virtual fake account that's not really me makes me feel bad about myself.
I think she's got good points, man. Uh-huh.
I think so, too.
I think she's got real good points.
Good points in, as in what? What good points were made in that video?
I mean, here she is, and I've seen videos from professionals and therapists talking about specifically how difficult it is for guys. Like, guys have to swipe 100, or is it swipe 100 times? Before they get somebody to match with them. And it's so purely based on looks now that it's really working on a dude's self-esteem. If you're not extremely good looking or make an extreme amount of money, like over $100,000, and you have to be over 6 foot. And there was another category also, which puts you in like the 1% category in the United States that women are really looking for, that it's really starting to chop dudes' egos, not egos, but their mental health also.
I think, I mean, obviously this is just one girl's experience, one woman's experience. But it's worth taking, you know, taking it for what she's saying as far as like dating apps suck for dudes too. And, you know, they're trying out there. I think what we can agree is that the grass is brown everywhere.
It is brown. There's brown everywhere. And I'm not saying that she didn't have a hard time on the dating apps. I just don't think it's mutually exclusive to men or women. So to act like that she's having a hard time and it's only hard for men, or for me to come on and talk about my experiences and say it's only hard for women. Dating is just tough, and the dating apps make it even harder.
This is what happens, though, is when we really just focus on superficial looks. Like, these people, this guy, she took over for him. So she's obviously his friend. Hmm. So he's obviously a solid, good dude to have a female friend who's willing to step in like that. So he's a great guy. But when you swipe on looks alone, this is what happens. You mismatch. Now, sometimes you're going to go on dates and they're going to suck in person. That happens. And I agree. You do need to be attracted to your partner. I'm not discrediting that at all. But I do think sometimes attractiveness comes along when you meet them and you see their personality and you start to see aspects of them that you didn't really notice before. I think being attracted to someone, you have your superficial level and then you have your relationship attractiveness, and you're missing out on being attracted to who they are when you're just judging off looks, and then everyone feels bad about themselves.
Would you be willing to try the same experiment?
Yeah, I'd be down to do it.
Okay, so you do like a virtual dude, okay, and see how the responses are different for a guy than they are for a woman.
Oh, I'm gonna pull hella chicks. I know the cheat codes.
We need someone mid, so you have to use a picture of Jackson.
Oh, you did.
No, we need, because people can Google Jackson, they can see that he has a girlfriend. So we need someone that's single, like someone like legitimate.
Well, you create the person, and don't create somebody so incredibly outstanding. I think what she's saying is she created an AI that was pretty average, and it was almost impossible to get any kind of attention.
No, she didn't. It was an actual friend.
It was an actual friend.
Pete's a real dude.
Who might be very average.
He's just me.
She said he is Pete's a 6, according to her.
She did.
What if we did this for a Burt Show listener? Like, I want to do this for a real dude.
Yeah, I don't think you should do AI or fake something. I think it needs to be like a real guy that you step in for to see what it's actually like.
Just like you said, with your Richie Rich friend who had the assistant, let me be your Hinge assistant and I'm going to help you pull some girls.
Okay. I just don't think that that's, it will, it will affect you as viscerally by helping somebody else out as you would be assuming somebody's personality.
But that was the same motivation she had going into this. She went into this being like, I'm just going to help my guy Pete out, right? I'm going to be him. I'm going to swipe. I'm going to have these conversations. And then come to find out,
women suck.
Yeah, also, I am on the apps. My self-esteem is affected by being on the apps with my own profile. So to me, like, just helping out a guy is going to have the same kind of investment as this woman who took the video on her profile.
All right, so what do we... Is this going to be a friend of yours, or do we need to randomly ask a guy that would like to do this with us?
I don't have any single guy friends.
But we need a six.
We need a six.
If you're call up with you a six.
And I'll take on your profile for
listen,
a week.
Listen, we can't be doing this for twos. We can't be doing this for tens. If you are a six and a single man, call us up 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. Preferably in your mid to late 20s. I think that is what
early 30s too.
Or early 30s. Somewhere between 25 and 35. If you can hit us up, that would be fantastic.
All right. And if you're going to call, do it now. Like Kristen said, 1-855-BIRCHO. And we'll talk to you after Entertainment Buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I have good news and I have bad news. Good news is that Drake, he withdrew some legal action against Universal Music Group and Spotify, basically saying that they collaborated together to pump up the song Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar that has a line in there calling Drake a pedophile. He's dropped that legal claim. The bad news is that he is still deciding to go through with another lawsuit against Universal Music Group, which is actually his label of more than a decade, for defamation over Not Like Us. Basically, he is saying that they promoted this song, helped it become what it is, which is this was this one of the biggest songs of 2024, and saying that it spread a, quote, false and malicious narrative that Drake is a pedo.
I don't know how he can win a case like this because they're both under the same label, but that's their job, is to promote songs and their artists. Now, what he would have to prove is that they knew that he is not a pedophile and they promoted it anyway.
Malicious intent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, like, the song doesn't necessarily say it's about Drake. Like, isn't it kind of everyone just drawing their own conclusions based off of clues dropped in the lyrics?
No, he says, say Drake in the song. He's talking to Drake directly. But I think this is just another L for Drake to me because I don't understand the approach. When he dropped it initially, I thought to myself, maybe they reached some kind of settlement behind the scenes because I don't think UMG wants Drake to leave, nor does Drake really want to leave. And Drake could potentially change how the industry works if he were to come out on top. So I assumed UMG cut a check and said, let this all go away. But then now with him filing this one, which has examples of YouTube comments and comments from streamers, it just seems so petty for a man of his stature to have to care about what these people are saying to this extent.
But, and this is like trigger warning and kid warning, if someone accused you of being a pedophile, wouldn't you fight it?
Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
1,000%.
And that's what Drake's doing, right?
But don't you fight that, but isn't... This is your area, not mine.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't it give you more credibility to fight it in song or fight it on the, not physically on the streets, than it does in the courtroom?
I think it does. And I think the reason that Drake ended up in the courtroom is because that was his way of accepting defeat. I think he realized, I cannot get on a song and defeat this man at this point. And his legacy has been tainted and tarnished. And I think he's accepted that. And so in his mind, if I have to go through this anyway, I might as well get as much money as I can in order to be good for the rest of my career. But to hip hop and to the streets, that's not a win.
So Universal Music Group, which, to reiterate, is his label, and he's been with them for over a decade, they've responded to this lawsuit, and they said, a spokesperson said, not only are these claims untrue, but the notion that we would seek to harm the reputation of any artist, let alone Drake, is illogical. We have invested massively in his music, and our employees around the world have worked tirelessly for many years to help him achieve historical, commercial, and personal financial success. Throughout his career, Drake has intentionally and successfully used UMG to distribute his music and poetry to engage in conventionally outrageous back and forth rap battles to express his feelings about other artists. He now seeks to weaponize the legal process to silence an artist's creative expression and to seek damages from UMG for distributing that artist's music.
I understand why he wants to fight it, but at the same time, it's almost as if fighting it makes it worse for him, because like they say, hit dogs holler. And it just, to me, right, at this point in your career with what you've accomplished, just go away. Yeah. Just let it go away.
All right, let's pause here for a second because Matt here says, hey, I'm a six. I want to get in on this. We have challenged you guys based on a TikTok that's gone viral. That it's from a woman that took over her friend's account as a guy. So she is swiping right and she's just getting the whole experience as a guy and said she realizes how tough it is. So we asked Abby if she would do the same thing. She's like, I just need a guy. That's kind of average. And Matt's like, hey, she's talking to me. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good, man. So you haven't had a whole bunch of luck on dating apps?
Not at all. I mean, goodness, what the viral video was saying just absolutely resonated.
In which way?
Just kind of, you know, swiping for days and feeling like, you know, there's no results coming from it. And, you know, kind of questioning yourself at a certain point of, you know, is it me? Am I not really bringing too much to the table, or, you know, all the things? So I, you know, again, like you were saying, I feel, you know, average. I have a career and definitely feel I bring things to the table. But, you know, from some looking inside and like you said, mental health from it, you get on here and you swipe, swipe, swipe and, you know, no connections are made.
That's what I was going to ask, Matt. If you're being honest, has your self-esteem taken a hit since being on the dating apps?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it goes into the fact of, you know, when you get out here in public and just even trying to interact with people, you know, girls in public, it definitely translates because you're, you know, you're kind of questioning yourself after swiping so much is, you know, am I really, you know, attractive? Am I going to, you know, are people attracted to me? So I think, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So you're willing to have Abby take over your account, not necessarily to make it better for you or to change anything, just to experience the things that you're experiencing, but she'll experience it as you, but as a woman.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
You down?
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I do think it is a little silly because I go through this already, but it's not for somebody else's profile. It's for my profile.
But you're saying it's silly, but you don't have the experience as a guy.
Yeah. What's the difference, though?
That's what we're going to find out.
Okay. All right. So let's see if it hurts more being somebody else.
It might help you.
Sounds good.
Being somebody else.
See you from the other side. All right,
Matt, hold on 1 second, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
The Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay. You didn't start a business to spend your Sundays chasing invoices and manual data entry. But as you grow, accounts payable starts to feel like a full-time job you never applied for. Bills pile up, approvals get lost in email, and your vendors are constantly asking, where's my check? It's distracting, it's stressful, and it's keeping you from the work that actually moves the needle. Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay is the exit ramp. QuickBooks Bill Pay automates the busy work that eats your calendar by bringing every bill, every vendor, and every payment into one organized dashboard. Stop chasing details and start seeing the big picture. Know exactly what's due, who needs to sign off, and how it impacts your cash flow before the money leaves your bank. Vendors can even manage their own details so you stay in control of how and when you pay. Grow with confidence and put your AP on autopilot in QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Again, that's QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Terms apply. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.